Mark chapter number 2, the passage that Caleb read just a little bit ago. We will continue our study in Mark on Sunday mornings. Trust that the Lord will speak to your heart together. We won't read all 12 verses, but I just want to just remind us of the text and what's going on here in the storyline as we begin our time together. Mark chapter number 2. We have already broken into a new chapter here in the book of Mark. And we haven't been in Mark too long, have we? That seems like a long time, but now we're moving forward. We're going to get to 12 verses today. Chapter 2, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he, speaking of Jesus, was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, he uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven me. Be forgiven thee. And we'll stop right there, and we'll look at the text in a little bit further. Let's bow our hearts together in a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you bless the preaching. This is a time when the Word of God is, we consider it and we allow it to speak to our hearts. Lord, would you use the words out of this passage? Would the Holy Spirit work in hearts? And Lord, I pray that you would use my voice to be just a conduit by which you speak. And Lord, help me to be out of the way, but Lord, may you be in the way, meeting needs, supplying. Lord, I thank you for all that's in hearing distance and the Bragg Center, Lord, and even in here in this building. We also pray for those who may be at home watching live stream. We pray that everything that's done would honor and glorify you. May you get the glory. And Lord, may we see your power and praise in the midst of it all. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. I want to preach this morning a message entitled, that's simply entitled, True Friendships. True Friendships. A very familiar passage of Scripture that we consider before us this morning. And in this passage, we literally see a wonderful picture of friendships. Here we see acts of kindness, sacrifice, effort, provision, and love being poured out to others. All these things someone has taken, and they're giving these things to others for the intended purpose of being a blessing. They're doing these things for an intended purpose of being a blessing to somebody who needs a helping hand. Being a blessing to somebody who needs a helping hand. Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that you can be a blessing to? Do you know anybody that needs a helping hand? Maybe you're here this morning. You can say, I could use a helping hand. And I could use a friend to come along and help me in some of these areas. I read or heard it said by someone and at some point in time, and I believe it's probably true, that if you live your entire life and if you can count on one hand five solid, good friends that do these kinds of things in your lifetime, you've been blessed. If in a lifetime you could say, I have five friends that, boy, they just sacrificed, they loved, they poured out, they blessed, they encouraged, they built up. These things are so important. If you had lived a life and have at least five of them, we are blessed beyond measure. And I dare say many of us would say, boy, I wish I had a friend. I've heard people say, I don't have any friends. And I've even heard people say, the reason I don't come to church is because I don't have any friends. Now, it can be carried a little too far, but the fact is we all need friends. You know what? If you want a friend, show yourself friendly. Sometimes we come to church and we find our little pew and we sit there and we wonder why no one speaks to us. Well, maybe we ought to get up and speak to others and we'd find ourselves friendly. If you find yourself friendly, you'll find friends. Sometimes you got to go look for them. And the one that's sitting there waiting for you to come across the aisle and speak to them is the one that needs a friend. And if you'd be a friend to them, they'd be a friend to you. Well, how'd you get off on all that? I don't know. It's in the text somewhere. But just be friendly. And I like Lakewood Baptist Church because I believe it's a friendly church. I've heard oftentimes people come in from outside, come to Lakewood and respond to me after the service or at some point in time and say this, it was the most friendly church I think I've been in a long, long, long time. And I want to say thank you. That just speaks volumes of your love for people. And I want to say thank you for that. But friendships. Webster's defines friendships in several ways. He says, it's an attachment to a person proceeding from intimate acquaintance. He goes on to say that it mentions several things with regards to friendships. It means kindness, favorable opinions, with respect, showing benevolence toward others. Webster's goes on to say, he says, there are few friendships in the world. Few have friendships in the world. He mentioned seven laws of friendships. He says, these are the things that make up friendships. He says, one is confidence. Confidence makes sense to me. Having confidence in somebody else. He mentions number two, integrity. Now, if you're going to have confidence in someone, that person must have integrity so that you can have confidence in them. Doesn't that make sense? So confidence, integrity, sincerity. Sincerity, I'm sincere about the needs and meeting, helping other people. Intimacy, you know, just simply being close one to another. It's hard to have long-distance friendships. Some people can, but in order to have that kind of friendship that's close, there needs to be that connection, that intimacy there. There needs to be personal kindness. There's a desire to just love on one another, he mentions. There needs to be a help and assistance mindset here. I just want to be a help. How can I help you? Let me just say, that'll go a long ways, not only in friendships, but in the world. If you just simply, and you go to work and say, how can I be a help today? How can I bless somebody today? How can I do this today? And come to church, how can I help somebody today? How can I be a blessing? He mentions these things in correspondence. I mentioned that, staying in touch. One man said, every person passes his life in search for friendships. Every person passes his life in search for friendships. Spurgeon said, friendships is one of the sweetest joys of life. Friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life. Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not found a friend. Some of you maybe have been there. I may have not come up out of under this. I may have been crushed, but a friend came along and helped me. Someone else said, we all have people who pull us down, but we all need a few friends who will propel us upward. I like that. I need people that will help me up, not push me down. Friends have a way of lifting us up, propelling us upward, while others seem to have a way of, and you know what I'm talking about, have a way of pulling us downward. I don't like to be around those that continually pull downward. And sometimes we find ourselves in those situations. And so we need to get out from under that and find people that help us upward. I remember working one time, and I've mentioned this in the past, working one time for a fella in Roanoke, Virginia, and I thought he'd just hung the moon because he gave me a job, and he didn't know me from Adam, and he gave me a job, and I thought this was the best guy on planet Earth. And I got planted, and 2 days later in a pickup truck between two guys, they stuck me in the middle at 95 degrees in the humidity, and all they did was badmouth the boss man. And it wasn't long before I was bad-mouthing the boss man too, and I had no reason to. You see, it rubbed off on me because they were pulling me down rather than lifting me up. We need friends that will lift us up. Verse 3 says, our text says, this man, sick of the palsy, was born of four. Now, he was carried. He was carried by these four. To have palsy simply means that more than likely he was a paralytic. It was certain that this man was completely unable to walk. Therefore, he was being carried. Likely that he was even unable to sit up on his own in his bed. There was a need for him to be carried. Jesus had just arrived once again in the town of Capernaum. The word Capernaum means village of comfort. What a fitting name. And certainly that is a fitting name because, especially since Jesus was in town, a village of comfort. Here Jesus was in town, and certainly there was a whole lot of comfort going on in the town of Capernaum. We'd gone back to Mark chapter number 1, and we saw Jesus for the first time in the town of Capernaum in verse number 21. of Mark, and he went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and he taught. In verses 23 through 26, while he was there in that synagogue, Jesus cast a demon out of a man. Jesus cast that demon out of that man. He was there, happened to be, by the way, in church that day. And Jesus casts him out. You know, that's what ought to happen when we come to church. All the bad things ought to be cast out. And ought to be some good things that leave this place. And that day, Jesus cast out the demon. I believe Peter lived in the town of Capernaum. Jesus goes there and he finds Peter's mother in verses 23 through 26 of chapter 1. Peter's mother-in-law, rather, is sick. And I believe that maybe she had COVID-19. Who knows? But Jesus simply spoke the word and she was healed. And she got up and she began to minister to them. And Mark chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, look what the Bible says. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered at the door. And look what the Bible says in verse number 34. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Wow. What a place of comfort Capernaum was. Why? Because Jesus was in town. Jesus was in the place. Notice that when he comes back to Capernaum, he's made this full circuit. After he left Capernaum, when he was there first time, he says, I must go into other towns and preach. And Jesus goes throughout Galilee preaching, and he comes back, and here we find him again preaching. And let me just emphasize the fact this morning that Jesus, again, I've done it before, but Jesus was a preacher. Everywhere he went preaching. Jesus didn't always preach a health and wealth prosperity gospel. I dare say Jesus never preached that. Jesus didn't always preach what people wanted to hear, but he preached what people needed to hear. Jesus was a preacher. He preached, I believe, the Old Testament scriptures that simply taught of him. He preached about the Old Testament. He brought the Old Testament scriptures to life, and because he was flesh and blood, and he was alive, and he was there with them. It was like the stories of the Old Testament literally just came to life as Jesus preached. What did he preach? I believe he preached repentance from sin and belief in the gospel. That's what chapter 1 says. He preached repentance from sin and belief in the gospel. And that's still what needs to be preached today. Repentance from sin. We don't hear a lot about that, do we? We hear a lot about let us continue in our sin. We hear a lot about you can't tell us that it's sin, but what we need to be hearing is repentance from our sin. What is sin? Sin is anything that breaks God's law. Sin, it goes against anything the Bible says that we ought not do, or anything the Bible says we ought to be doing. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin of commission, sin of omission. Things we're doing, things we're not doing. There's a whole lot of things in this world today, even in the United States of America, that's sin. It ought to be called sin, and there needs to be some calling for repentance in our country. Repentance from sin, literally a returning from that sin and belief in the gospel. Jesus was a good news Bible preacher, gospel preacher. Now, I believe that every sermon must include the gospel. Every sermon must include the gospel in it somewhere, in it somewhere. Somewhere in every message, the preacher ought to lift up the cross and ought to show it to everybody. Now, I remember being in Japan with Brother White, and I think the Harrises were there at the Bible conference, and Brother White was preaching there at the last day of the Bible conference, and he pulled out a painting, a picture that they had drawn some years ago. You remember that, brother? He had this little picture, and it was about this big, and on it he had a cross. And he took that little picture, and what that was when they first went over to Japan, he used that little picture to describe the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he brought that picture of that cross out, and he simply preached Jesus. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. It was a blessing. And you know, everybody got it. I believe the cross ought to be brought out regularly from the Bible, and it ought to be shown to the world. I believe that's Bible preaching. It ought to be lifted up, and it ought to tell people how to be saved. It's important that we tell people how to be saved. We ought to tell them that every man needs to hear that they are lost. You realize some people don't know that? Everybody needs to hear they're lost. They're undone in sin, and they are hell-bound. We heard in our Sunday school class this morning that many people believe that all ways lead to the same, all directions lead to the same place. That is not Bible. As a matter of fact, Angie and I heard that very same thing this week. After all, don't we all believe the same thing? Don't we all think the same thing? And really, in essence, we're all going to the same place. That's not Bible whatsoever. People need to hear the truth. A man needs to hear. He needs to know that all have sinned, that there's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God for all eternity. Not just a physical death, but an eternal death. Every man needs to hear that he cannot do good works in order to earn salvation. He'll never do enough good work in order to earn a salvation. You say, do people need to hear that? There are people all across the globe that are trying to work their way to heaven. And people need to hear they cannot work their way to heaven. Being good, being moral, even being religious, that kind of person will not get you to heaven. It won't get you to heaven. He needs to hear that he can do nothing to save himself. A man needs to hear that he needs Jesus in his life. He needs to hear about Jesus and how that Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross and pay the penalty for the sin of mankind. How Jesus came to this earth to be that substitute for every man. Jesus, who never committed not even one sin, died on the cross for sin. He took on the sin of the entire world. He was buried and he rose again the third day. Everybody needs to hear that. And if any man will turn from their sin and repentance and turn to Christ for salvation, they can and will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's turning from my way and turning to Christ's way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast and say, look what I've done. We haven't done anything. It's all in what God has done for us at Calvary. Every man needs to hear that. I believe that Jesus often turned to one of his favorite texts. I just happen to believe it was Isaiah chapter number 53. I believe that Jesus went regularly to Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I believe that Jesus preached Isaiah 53, and he says, I'm the one that the passages are speaking of. This is what I've come to do. I'm the Savior of the world. I believe Jesus went regularly to Isaiah 53. Jesus was a gospel preacher. And he was preaching about himself. He preached the words of the Bible that taught of him. Here in our text in Mark chapter number 2, it says, he came and he preached the word unto them. The word unto them. He was a Bible preacher. Now in our story, I want us to see some things about friendships. And we'll see this with regards to Jesus as well. But I want us to notice and bring our attention back to the thought of these four men who were carrying, these four men who bore this paralytic man to Jesus. And maybe as we consider some of these characteristics of friendship this morning, there would be some things that would pique our interest, that would encourage us, that would equip us, or that maybe even rebuke us to help us be better friends. Wouldn't you like to be a better friend? Wouldn't you like to have a better friend? So maybe you ought to pray for the fella or the lady that's sitting beside you, but maybe the lady, this fella that's sitting beside you is praying for you also, because we all need some better friends. First of all, notice with me with regards to friendships. True friendships bring people to Jesus. True friendships bring friends to Jesus. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. True friendships bring people or bring friends to Jesus. Note this man, he was a paralytic, sick of the palsy. He could not come himself, he had to be brought. He could not come himself, he had to be brought. Now possibly, this paralytic man had heard about Jesus the first time he had been in town back in chapter number 1 before Jesus went on this preaching tour. Possibly, no doubt, he had heard about Jesus. But he couldn't get to where he was. Certainly he wanted to go as he heard all that was taking place, all that was being healed. Certainly he wanted to go, but he needed some help in getting there. He needed some help in getting there. He needed somebody to bring him. But this time, when Jesus comes back through town, the word is noise that Jesus, I believe, is back in Peter's house again, and people are coming out and being healed. This time is different. Maybe this time, along the way, his friends, these four men, they maybe got together and they said, "Hey, what about Joe down there? You know, last time Jesus was in town, people were being healed. Devils were being cast out. People were walking in lame. They were coming out, They were walking out clearly and plainly. Jesus was doing all wonderful things. But what about Joe? He couldn't get down there that day. He had nobody to bring him. So what about him? He's been a paralytic as long as I've ever known him. I've never seen him when he wasn't out of his bed. The last time Jesus was here again, he was healing in all manner of diseases. And as a matter of fact, Jesus even cleared out the hospital while he was in town when he was here last time. Can you imagine that? Jesus clearing out the hospital because there's nobody to be sick anymore. But this man, he didn't get to Jesus that first time around. Why? Because he needed somebody to bring him. And here these men, they maybe get together, and maybe one headed it up. We don't know, but we know they didn't go on Facebook. They didn't get on their cell phones, and they called one another. So somebody took the initiative to help him. So maybe the one man said, "Hey, how about we go down there, and Jesus is in town. We help Joe get down there and see Jesus. You get one corner, and I'll get the other corner, and we'll all take him to see where Jesus is. We'll take him to hear and to hear see Jesus, to hear him preach, and possibly we'll get him close enough to where he can even be healed." Now let me ask you, what kind of friend is it? What kind of friend is it that'll not do everything they can to get somebody in need to Jesus? Think about that with me. What kind of friend are we that'll not do anything that we can possibly do to get another friend who's in need to Jesus? I believe these men had a heart to help this man. They had a heart to help this man get to Jesus. Question, what kind of friend are you? What kind of friend am I when it comes to helping others in this way and helping others get to Jesus? Are we inviting others to know the Savior? Are we inviting others to know the Savior? When was the last time we invited somebody to church? When's the last time we handed out a gospel tract? You say, "Preacher, there's this thing called COVID-19 going around. You know, it's not social anymore. You know, all the government saying this, and they got this going on, and they got that going on." No, this is the time when people need to be in church. I really believe that with all my heart. This is a time when people need to be under the preaching of the Word of God. This is the time when people who are hurting need to come to Jesus. When was the last time that we gave a witness to somebody about Jesus, about simply about what He did for us? When's the last time we gave our testimony about saving faith and what Jesus not only did for us, but what Jesus can do in the life of someone else? No true friend would ever withhold, if he had it, a cure for a disease. He'd share it with his friends. Why in the world don't we share Jesus with our friends? Why aren't we sharing Jesus everywhere we go? Why have we not told someone in our family, someone in our friendships, someone in our neighborhood about Jesus? Characteristic number one of a friend: true friends always bring friends to Jesus. True friends always bring friends to Jesus. Number two, these friends didn't wait to be asked. These friends didn't wait to be asked. The Bible doesn't give us the entire story, but I don't believe they waited to be asked. I believe they took the initiative here. They took the initiative to carry this man to Jesus. You know, there are two different kinds of people when it comes to this kind of thing. I'm talking about initiative. Two kinds of people when it comes to this thing. Those who won't do anything unless you ask them. Those who won't do anything unless they're asked. And then those who are always looking for ways to help and being a blessing and never have to be asked. Those who say, well, I would have, but nobody asked me. I would have thought about it, but nobody said anything. And then there are others that are always looking for the opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else and just take the initiative and go do it. And just jump out there and say, look, I'll help, I'll be there, I'll be a friend, I'll come alongside. Some folks still will sit back and watch while others are getting the job done. Because nobody asked him, never even thinking of being involved unless they're asked. Others never have to be asked. They just see the need and get the job done. They just jump right in and help get it done. Many hands make light work. Some people say, well, they didn't ask me. Didn't know what to do. You know, we ought to come to church with an attitude of how can I help somebody else? Church is not just about me. If we have the mentality that we come to church and it's just about me, it's what I get out of it, it's what's for me, then we've missed the entire purpose. Church is about, yes, God will bless you, but many times we are blessed when we are blessing someone else. When we're reaching out, we're being a friend, we're being an encouragement to others, we're jumping in. We have a me mentality. With church, so oftentimes we have a consumer mentality. Rather than a ministry mentality. And we all have that ministry mentality rather than the other side. I believe somebody here took the initiative to pick up that one corner. And the other man said, hey, how about you picking up the other corner? And the guy said, I'll take this corner and I'll get that corner. And they carried the man to Jesus. It was a big job for one. One man couldn't carry him. They said he was born a four. One man could have maybe drug him. You know, couldn't you see that going down the street? One man dragging, taking a little stop here, and you know, getting a gallon of water here, and it's hot that day. Maybe he's dragging him down, but no, it took all four of them. It took many of them. It was a big job, but everybody got involved, and the work got done, and it all made light work. I believe Jesus was saying this kind of thing. He was saying, "See the need, get involved." When he said this in Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers unto the harvest. I believe Jesus was simply saying, look around, see the need, get involved. Look around, see the need, get involved. Take the initiative. There are people dying and going to hell. Get involved. Are we the kind of friends that look around and see the needs of others and we do all we can to get the job done? Are we the kind of friends that see the needs of others and we just jump right in to get the job done? Some have never been trained to see the needs of others around them. And I think that's a lost trait, it seems, in many of our churches and Many of even the generation in which we live, not trained to see the needs of others around them. We are so self-focused to see the needs of others. Some have needs. If we come with a goal to meet somebody else's need, I believe our needs will be met in the process. Some may see the need and some may not get involved, but everyone needs to be involved and not always asked. Notice characteristic number one, these friends brought their friends to Jesus. These friends took the initiative. They saw the need and went to work. Number three, true friends don't give up the first sign of difficulty. True friends don't give up the first sign of difficulty. Verse number four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. True friends don't give up the first sign of difficulty. The Bible tells us the crowd was great. They couldn't even get close. They encountered difficulty, but they didn't give up. Encountered difficulty, but they didn't give up. Have you ever noticed that some so-called friends all of a sudden turn into ghosts? They disappear when difficulty comes. You ever had friends like that? You know, when the hard things comes, when the hard work pops up, when it gets a little difficult, they're gone. I'm your friend until it gets a little rough. But these men didn't do that. These men found a way to get this fella to Jesus. The crowd was great, but they still got him there. One man said, the true friend is one who is faithful in adversity and who abides with us in the darkest of night. I think that's well said. These four men didn't give up, but they made their way to Jesus. They found a way to get this fellow to Jesus. Proverbs 17 and 17. A friend loveth at all times. At all times. So notice the characteristics. True friends always bring their friends to Jesus. True friends take the initiative. True friends don't give up when it gets hard. Number four, true friends believed in the power of Jesus. True friends believe in the power of Jesus. Look at verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. These friends believed in the power of Jesus. Listen, don't stop praying for somebody. Don't give up on somebody. Please don't do that. Angie's father was, how old was your father when he passed? 2 weeks shy of 87 years of age. And we were told by family that he'd never be saved. He could never be saved. He's been too wicked, too long a drunk. By the way, he's not one of the elect. He could never be saved. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Just 1 month before he passed away, he at his couch there in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia, he bowed and he asked Christ into his heart to save him. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. They believed in the power of salvation. They believed in the power of God. They believed in the power to work miracles. Some of you have been praying for lost family and friends. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on the power of Jesus. Don't ever give up on what God can do in the life of someone else. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Over and over again, we see that it was faith that always makes the difference. Hebrews 11 and 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. These men knew that they could not do the healing. But they believed that if they could get their friends to Jesus, he sure could. If they could get their friends to Jesus, he could do the healing. I've said it many times, and I'll say it again this morning. You and I, we need to do all that we can do. You and I do all that we can do and let Jesus do everything we cannot do. You see, we stop short of doing what we can do. Do all that you can do and allow Jesus, by faith, and allow Jesus to do what you cannot do. In other words, be faithful, trust God, believe God, and let God do the work. They believed in the power of Jesus to heal their friends. Four characteristics of great friendships that I see in these men who bore this man to Jesus. They're great friends, but in closing, let me mention this. There's one greater. There's another greater in the story. Another greater friend in the story. One friend that's greater than all these. His name is Jesus. The friend called Jesus. Look with me at verses 5 through 12. Then Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there was one, that there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in their spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine own house. And immediately, there's that word immediately again, it's all the way through, straightway and immediately, all the way through the gospel. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion before. Never saw it like this before. Can you imagine the scene that day? They tear open the roof. These men by faith lower this man in, and there he's before Jesus. And Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven you. And these scribes, these religious leaders, are saying, wait a minute. Nobody can do that but God. Exactly. That's who he'd been preaching about. That's who he'd been talking about. That's who he'd been reminding them and telling them what the Old Testament scripture said. Exactly, he could forgive sins. And exactly, he could heal every disease. And that greatest disease was the disease called sin. This man, he got up out of that bed and he walked out of the house. You think that he had to push his way out? I think everybody just simply got out of his way in amazement. Can you imagine? We never saw it on this fashion. What a wonderful thing. The friendship of Jesus. Think with me just a second on the friendship that Jesus has for you and he has for me. Have you thought about that? The friendship that Jesus has for you and that he has for me. He cared enough. He cared enough to act and move. He was moved with compassion. He took the initiative. He cared enough to act. He was moved with compassion. He took the initiative. He came to us. He made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And he went all the way to the cross. He cared enough to act. He took the initiative. He didn't quit when things got hard. He didn't quit when things got difficult. When he was there in the garden that evening and right before the cross, and the Bible tells us that he prayed and he prayed and he prayed and his sweat became as literally drops of blood. And yet he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't quit when things got hard. Think about the friendship of Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't say, look, he's too hard, she's too hard, they're too mean, they've gone too far? No, Jesus didn't give up on us. Jesus is our friend. Jesus came to save. He didn't quit when things got hard. He sacrificed all. Jesus sacrificed all so that you and I could be saved. What a friend we have in Jesus. Listen to what one hymn writer said. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Troubled, tried, and sometimes failing, he, my strength, my victory wins. Jesus, What a help in sorrow. While the billows o'er me roll, even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Jesus, what a guide and keeper. While the tempest still is nigh, storms about me, night o'ertakes me, He's my pilot, hears my cry. Jesus, I do now receive Him. More than all in Him I find. He hath granted me forgiveness. I am His and He is mine. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Never saw it on this fashion before. Jesus, characteristics of a friend. He took the initiative. He went all the way and He finished. He completed the work of Christ, of Calvary. He completed the work of redemption. Why? For a sinner such as me. For someone just like me. I can't let you go without reading this passage. I got to do it. Romans chapter number 5. Verses number 5 through 12. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have received the atonement. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But then Jesus comes along. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many may be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded unto many. He's our friend. We see here in these passages the friendship of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus. He gave all. He took the initiative. He completed the task. And it's all because He loves you and He loves me. Now, how about us? What kind of friends are we? What kind of friends are we? What kind of friends are we to not only those who are sitting in the pew next to us, but what kind of friend are we to Jesus? Are we just cast Him aside? Are we living for Him? Are we loving Him as we ought? Are we telling others about Him? Remember, true friends always bring other friends to Jesus. Will you bring somebody to Jesus? Will you seek to do that this week? Will you seek to bring somebody to Jesus? Friends take the initiative. They don't wait to be asked. Friends don't stop when the times get difficult. What kind of friend are we when it comes to our service to the Lord? I think in this passage we see some wonderful things about friendships, particularly the friendship of Jesus toward us. There's many other things we could pull out of this passage, but that point this week spoke to my heart. Why? Because I need a friend. Do you need one? You got one that I can have? You got one that I can borrow? How about you being a friend to somebody else? How about you loving somebody else? How about you showing somebody else Jesus? How about you just bringing somebody else to Jesus? Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer.